All right, so we'll say good morning. Today's daf is Nun Tes 59. We are going to pick up on Nun Ches Amud Beis 58b. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 lines up on the bottom. So a lot to do today. Beautiful Gemara. So we'll say, just remember again, we're picking up in the middle of a discussion. The Gemara established yesterday that when valuating damages, so we do not just look at the value of the item by itself, rather we look at the value of the item in the context of a larger field. We saw the episode of the guy who cut down the palm tree. And remember again, he went to the Reish Galusa for judging. The Reish Galusa evaluated it was a grove of three trees worth 100 zuz. Therefore, the Reish Galusa demanded, or the Reish Galusa paskind, that the individual, the perpetrator, go ahead and pay 33 and a third zuzin. The perpetrator said, that's ridiculous, I'm going to ask my rabbi. He goes to Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman said, no, we look at it as a grove of 60 trees, and then we figure out, again, the difference in the value of a grove of 59 trees versus 60 trees, and that's what you pay. So the Gemara then raised the idea, do we say the valuation of 60, of do we evaluate things on base of a larger ratio when a person himself damages? Meaning, we were speaking about that ratio when one's mammon, one's animal damages. We never really spoke about that ratio ultimately when a person himself damages. So Amar le Abai le Rava, Sabai said to Rava, Beniske gufo mai daitech, Sabai said to Rava, Rava, why do you think that when a person damages himself, we don't evaluate damages based on a larger ratio? This sanya, because we learned, Hamafkir karmo shel chavero. So we'll say if a person went ahead and ruined the vineyard of his friend, so smadar, if he ruined ultimately budding grapes, Rowan also kama haisa yafa kodem lachin, v'kama hi yafa lachar mikan. So we look at how much, what was the vineyard worth beforehand, and what is the vineyard worth now. And interestingly enough, v'ilu b'shishim lo katani. So we'll say, what do you see in this brisa? The brisa doesn't make any mention of, let's say, evaluating the vines based on a grove or a vineyard of 60 vines versus 59 vines. Rather, again, the Gemara seems to say very simply, we look at what the vineyard was worth before the damage, we look at what the vineyard was worth after the damage, and that's that the difference in those values is what the damager pays. Which I will say sounds like, again, that when a person himself does damage, that's how we evaluate damages. The only time we look ultimately, again, at the valuation of a larger field, it seems to be, is when an animal itself does damages. So the Gemara says, one second, Atugabi behemto nami nilotanyo, but did we also not learn by an animal, ki ai gavna, in the same way, this anyo, kamta netia, it will say, if ultimately, again, an animal severed a sapling, so a plant, Rabbi Yossi Omer, goes to exerce Yushalayim Omrim, netia bashnasa shtei kasef, bas shtei shalim arba kasef. So we'll say, those who made decrees in Jerusalem said that a netia sapling that's a year old is worth 2 silver pieces. 2 years old is worth 4 silver pieces. Achacha, achla chazis. Similarly, if the animal ate, we'll say chazis is sprouting wheat. Person ate wheat as it was spreading, meaning it's still immature. So the Rabbi Yossi Alili Omer Nida B'mishuya Shebo. Rabbi Yossi Alili says, we look ultimately again, we evaluate that which was eaten, based on that which was left in the field. And as Rabbi Yossi, we wait until harvest time, we see how much the wheat is, the wheat is valued, the value of the wheat at the harvest time, and that's how we assess damages. And Abosai Chum say the same thing over here as they said before. We look, no, when the animal does damage, we look at how much the field was worth before, how much it's worth now, and that difference ultimately is what the owner of the animal will pay. Top of Nuntes, a third part of this price, Achlos Smadar, if the animal went ahead and ate, we'll say, so Smadar are budding grapes. Remember again, this is the grapes are still immature, right? They're not yet really fit yet for consumption. So Yeshua says, when evaluating the damages, we look at how much they would have been had they been ready to be harvested. So meaning, that is interesting, we evaluate the damages based on fully mature grapes and not simply as what they are right now. The Chum say no. Rowan kama haise yafa. The kama hi yafa. Chacham say how much was the field worth and how much is it worth now? Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer ben Shum. Rabbi Shimon. The Medrash Amorim. When is this true? Bizman sha'achla lulave gefane v'yichurei tenim. But said this is only if the animal ate literally again grape vine shoots or fig shoots. The idea is, Lulave Gefanim and Yichurei Te'enim are the same concept, which means immature vines or immature shoots. So Rashi says over here, when do we go ahead and assess the valuation of damages based on a larger field? Rabbi Shimon Yehuda says that's only when the animal is consuming vine shoots, grapevine shoots, or fig shoots. However, Abba Achla Pagim O Bosar, but I will say if a person ate half ripe dates or half ripe grapes, roen oson kiilu anavim omdos li baser. So we'll say we look at it as if we evaluate it based as if they were grapes ready to be harvested. We'll say the point over here is the katani mihas vechum omrim roen osa kama haisiyafa the kama hiyafa velo katani bishishim. So we'll say here is the problem. To condense the problem, so here's the issue. What we seemed to establish yesterday was the notion that when an animal does damage, so I'll say, remember again, Reuven's animal comes into my field and eats a row of tomatoes. So what we seem to establish yesterday is how do I evaluate damages? I look as if I had a base sa'ah of tomato plants. How much would a base sa'ah of tomato plants with this row be worth? And how much would a base sa'ah of a field of tomato plants be worth less this row? And the difference in those two values is the damage. Now the Gemara was suggesting that when a person does damage, however, the metric for going ahead and measuring damage is different. That when a person does damage, what we look at, Rabbi Say, is the value of the field now and the value of the field post-consumption, and the difference in that amount, ultimately, again, is the value of the damages. So both say, all the Gemara is pointing out is, but one second, the Brisa seems to say that we do that same thing for animals as well, to which the Gemara says, Elo, my istachol emimar b'shishim. Rather, both say, we have to go back and we have to understand that whenever you go ahead and you are evaluating the damages of an animal, what you're always going to look at is the ratio of the damage in a 60 times more event. Let me clarify that. And for example, if an animal were to eat a stalk of wheat, we don't look at the value of the stalk of wheat. Rather, what do we look at? We look at is if you had a bundle of 60 stalks, what would be the difference between a bundle of 60 stalks or a bundle of 59 stalks? And that ultimately, again, is the value of the damages that the animal pays. Hachanami bishishim. Amra abai, Rabbi Yossi alidiv Rabbi Yishmal amru dover echad. Baruch atva adonai Eloheinu malach olam shakol nia bitvaro. Abai says that Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Shishmal really say one thing. Now, both remember, Rabbi Yossi Aglili was the one who said that if an animal comes along and eats produce, eats chazis is, I think they call it spring wheat, right? Where partially developed wheat. If the animal ate partially developed wheat, so Rabbi Yossi Aglili said nidon b'meshuyar. Rabbi Yossi, what we do over here is, when we value how much was consumed, we look at the value of the other wheat at the time that it's harvested. So we'll say, so this is an incredible chiddush. So for example, let's say the animal goes ahead and eats wheat in Tammuz, right? Wheat is not yet developed. And they don't normally go ahead and harvest the wheat until Tishrei, just for argument's sake. That's not true in an agricultural society, but for illustration purposes, it's fine. So what do? When valuing the damage, ultimately, again, of the wheat that was consumed, we don't look at the wheat as underdeveloped wheat, but rather, we evaluate the wheat as to what it will be worth at the time that it's harvested. Because we'll say, ultimately, we see that that's what the animal deprived the wheat owner of. Of ultimately, again, a crop, a product that would have been worth X, even though he consumed it now while it was worth Y. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili Shita. So the Gemara just says, Rabbi Shimon says the same thing. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili Hadama, supposed to be said Rabbi Yossi Aglili Shita on Amadeis. Rabbi Shimon, where do you know Rabbi Shimon? The Sanya. Rabbi Shimon said, Meitav Sadeo Meitav Karmo Yishalim. So the Pasuk says, he shall pay from the best of his field and the best of his ear. Both say, it's somebody who causes damage to someone else. Right, so ultimately, again, this is shame. The shilach has beirav beir b'ste acher meitav sheda meitav sadeo meitav kamo yishalim. So what happens? The animal goes ahead and destroys someone else's field. Right, goes ahead and eats someone else's stuff. So the maisa again, under those circumstances, the damager has to pay the best of his field, the best of his vineyard. So the Gemara says meitav sadeo shalmezak. We saw it before and we'll see it again in Yeretz Hashem later on, that there's a discussion as to who's best of the field and who's best of the vineyard are we referring to? So the Gemara says, Meitav Sadehu Shalmizak, Umeitav Karmo Shalmizak, Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel says, when valuating damages, Rabbi Hussein, remember, the damages themselves are a dollar amount, we'll call it. But the Shaila is like this, that when repaying with karka, remember, in general, if I owe you $1,000, so I could pay you, if I'm paying you with land, I could pay you one of two ways. I can give you a lot of ziburis land, right, a lot of inferior land, or I can give you a smaller amount of idis land, of higher quality land. Now, the value is going to be the same, $1,000. The general assumption is people would rather have a smaller amount of idis land than a larger amount of ziburis land, even though, again, the value is the same. What the Gemara over here is suggesting is that when you damage someone, Rabbi Shmuel says that if paying in land, the nature of idis land is evaluated by the holdings of the damaged property, of the damaged party. So for example, I damage Reuven, I have to pay him back from the best of the land. Who's the best? Who's best is used as the metric to decide what the best is for payment. Rabbi Shmuel says we actually look at the damaged property's holdings. Whatever his best land is, if I have similar land to that, that becomes ultimately the item for which through which I have to give repayment. Rabbi Akiva says no. Rabbi Akiva says no. What it means is it's idis demazik. What it means is if I have the damage, I have to pay back with the best of my land. Rabbi will say that's true. Even if what? Even if the best of my land is only equivalent to the inferior of the damaged property's land, I have to go ahead and pay with the best of my land. That's Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. The Kav Chomer Hektish. And I will say all the more so, if I damage Hektish, I certainly have to repay with the best of my land as well. Below Tema, and don't say that Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Dibar Avin. The Amar Rabbi Dibar Avin, Kigon Shachar Aruga Ben Arugos, V'lo Yadinan Ikechu Shavi Ishnein. Rabbi Shmuel, listen to this, because Rabbi Dibar Avin has a very interesting halacha. Rabbi Dibar Avin says, if my animal wanders into Reuven's field and ate a row of produce, what's the problem? No, they don't know which row of produce the animal ate. So what happens? So they don't know. Now, really what they don't know is, there are different, remember, in Reuven's field, so there's different types of produce. There's some high-quality produce, some low-quality produce. My animal walked into Reuven's field and ate a row. What's the problem? Reuven doesn't know, did my animal eat a high-quality produce row or a low-quality produce row? So the Gemara says, listen to this. So the Amar kum shalim shmeina b'meitav di'ikadahashta. So ultimately, again, Reuven says, well, pay me the best of my field based on what I have now. The hachi lo amrinon. We don't say this. Why? So we'll say, Reuven's going to say, well, look, we're not sure, so you know what, let's err on the side of caution. Why don't you pay me for the best of the produce? To which I say, no. Why? Because my taima, hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. Because we'll say that's an obvious one. Because remember again, if Reuven wants to claim that I owe him significant money for the best of the produce, that's fine. Meaning I'm willing to pay, just prove it that I actually owe you that. Ella, the mate of the lekame. Ultimately, again, Abu Sa'i, but rather you have to pay with that which is best in front of him. Umaynihu kiheich desolik. Look at Rashi. Kiheich desolik bimos hakotzir. Rather, Abu Sa'i, what it means when I have to pay him in the meitav, what it means is that when I damage someone, right, when I damage someone, or in this case, my animal is damaging someone, my animal eats the wheat, but the wheat's not going to be harvested for another 2 months. When we evaluate that damage, we don't evaluate the damage based on the value of the wheat now, in its underdeveloped, immature state. Rather, we evaluate the damages based on what the wheat will be worth, at the time in which it is harvested. So we'll say that is the shita of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, which is a very interesting shita, because in the normal circumstances, when we evaluate damages, valuation of damages is almost always done in the here and now. Here, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi seem to suggest that really what the owner of the animal is depriving Reuven of is the future value of that wheat at the time that it's harvested. So because of that, we don't evaluate it based on what it is now, we'll evaluate it based on what it will be in the future. And I will say, now obviously, everyone else is arguing on that. No, we evaluate damages based on the here and now. However you're going to evaluate that damages, whether you're going to say, if you ate a row of produce. So how much is the field worth with the row of produce, without the row of produce, whether you use shishim, everyone else is evaluating damages based on current value versus Rabbi Shlomo Rabbi Yosef Lili, which are who are evaluating based on future value. So the Gemara goes right to Amar Mar, Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, Amar Mishum, Rabbi Shimon, Medr Amar Murim. When is this true? That we go ahead and we evaluate the value of produce, not by itself, but based on its value in the context of land. That's only in the case sha'achlo lulave gifanim v'yichurei te'enim. But say that's in a case ultimately again where a person ate the vine, the grape shoots and the fig shoots. Hasmadar, but yet again, if a person were to eat the produce when it's a little bit more of a matured state, then roen osan ki'ilu anavim omdos li batzer. So we'll say this is interesting. If you were to go ahead and eat the grapes when they're a little bit more of a mature state, then what I would say is we evaluate the grapes based on if they were ready to be harvested. Say ima sefa, yeah, look at the end of the braisa. Achla pagim obosar hudurot osakilu anavim omdosli batzer. So we'll say, yeah, we said before that if a person ate underdeveloped grapes or underdeveloped figs, we evaluate them based on as if they are ready to be harvested. So hasmadar roen osun kama hiyafa v'kama haisiyafa. So for us, it seems with smadar, which is the budding state, which is an earlier state, we look at ultimately again how much the field was worth with the smadar grapes there, and how much the field is worth now without the smadar grapes there, and that becomes the basis for valuation. Ravina karuch v'tani. You have to bring it together. You have to really essentially sandwich these two rulings and throw them together. What's the boss say? What's the halacha? Or what's the statement? When is this true? Bizman sha'achlo lulavi gifanav yichurei te'enim. So we'll say, when is this true? That ultimately we evaluate the damages in the context of land. In other words, we look, right, in the context of land. That's when you ate grape shoots or fig shoots. Aval achlas madar pagin obosar. But if you ate the grapes or the figs when they were budding or when they were half developed, roen osan ki'ilu anavim omdos li batzer. We look at them as if they what? We evaluate them as if they were produce ready to be harvested. So we'll say, see, I understand what the Gemara is saying over here now, which is quite interesting. The Gemara is making the following suggestion. When the fruit is so underdeveloped that it barely even has like the status of fruit, in other words, that it's a shoot, you have a grape shoot, you have a fig shoot, then you evaluate the damages based on land. Either that means how much the land was worth with the shoots versus how much the land is worth without the shoots, and it pays that difference. Or we look at it as if it was a base saw of land. How much would a base saw of land be worth with this shoot, without this shoot? However, it's right, but it's based on land. Once the fruit has already begun to bud, right, whether it's just budding, which is smadar, or it's reached a little bit more of a, let's say, halfway point of maturation, at that point, the Rambam said, then we evaluate the fruit as if it was fruit ready to be harvested, and ultimately we look at that value and we use that as the value for damages. Iyachi, if that's the case, Rabbi Shimon Yehuda and Rabbi Yeshua, if that's the case, then Rabbi Shimon Yehuda and Rabbi Yeshua saying the same thing. What's the nafkamina between them? Kachash gufna. Suppose that this is actually very interesting. The nafkamina between them would be that at the end of the day, this is actually quite interesting. When I go ahead and my animal goes into Reuven's field and eats Reuven's grapes off his vineyard, so we'll say there is a, this is going to sound strange, but there is a savings that I am providing to Reuven. What's the savings, Rabosai? Every time a vine bears fruit, it diminishes some of the vitality of the vine. By going ahead, right? Remember, a vine has a shelf life at the end of the day. So every time it produces grapes, it saps some of the energy from the vine. So the mice, again, same thing with soil. So what happens? So therefore, when I go ahead and my animal goes into Reuven's field and eats his grapes, there is a certain savings, quote unquote, because the vitality of Reuven's vine has now been maintained for a little bit longer. Rashi says, Kachash kufna lenakos minatashlo mashiachishu anav megifanim im yamdu sham adabatzir. So we'll say, for argument's sake, let's say in agricultural society we could quantify that. Let's say again, every single time the vine bears grapes, it takes X percentage of its vitality. When my animal eats Reuven's grapes, essentially, I've saved him some of that vitality. The shaila is, can we deduct that amount from the bill of damages? Well, it's an incredible... We're such good business people, right? So can I deduct that amount ultimately, again, from the bill of damages. Now, listen, I watch this. Now, the Gemara says, I know the nafkamina to Rabbi Yehuda ben Yehuda Rabbi Shimon is whether or not you could deduct from the damages bill the savings for maintaining the vitality of the vine, but I don't know who says what. Abaye Amar Abaye says, "Misaimi u'misaimi." We know exactly who said, well, listen to this, Rabbi. Mantan de Chayish Lekachish Gufna. Who is the one who says that we look at the savings, that the vitality of the vine has been maintained? That's Rabbi Shimon Yehuda. Rabbi says, where do we see this from? The sign Rabbi Shimon Yehuda or Mishum Rabbi Shimon Menasya. Ones in Mishalim Esatzar. Rabbi says, this is a fascinating halacha. If a man violates a woman, he does not have to pay her for pain and suffering. And it's spare other damage or other fines, but not for tsar. What's the logic behind that? Mipnesha so far the hitstair tachas baila. Now, Rabbi said, now listen to this. Rabbi Shimon Yehuda says that there is a pain that is associated with Bia Rishona. Right? There's a pain that's associated with the first act of relations. So therefore, again, if a man violates a woman, he causes her tsar. Rabbi Shimon Yehuda says that tsar was a given. Right, that tsar was going to happen, and therefore Lemaisa again, he doesn't have to pay for tsar. So Amru Lo, they said to Rabbi Shimon, what are you talking about? Eino domen nevelas beratzon lenevelas baones. How can you possibly say that? It's true that there might be tsar by a bia rishona, but how can you compare the tsar of a bia rishona that happens willingly versus a bia rishona that happens against her will? So both said, the reason the Gemara is bringing this down, even though we reject the position of Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, first of all, the halacha is that if a man violates a woman, of course he pays her tsar. But lemaisa, again, the point the Gemara is making over here is that there's this shita that even in cases of damages, if technically speaking, there is some kind of quote unquote savings, or there was some type of, I guess we'll call for lack of a better term, like a sunk cost. So lemaisa, again, you could take that off the bill for the damages charged. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Hani Tani Rabbi Shimon Yehuda Amar Davar Achad. So these time Rabbi Shimon Yehuda said the same thing. Listen to this. Rabbi Shimon Yehuda Adamran. So Rabbi Shimon Yehuda is one who said before what we just said above. So Hani Tanoi Mai. What about these other times? The say same idea. Listen to this. The Sanya Rabbi Yosi Omer Nechi Chaya. Say listen to this. A man injures a woman, a pregnant woman, and she miscarries. So we've swallowed the Mevelados. Right? You have to go ahead and you have to pay the quote unquote the value of the lost pregnancy to the husband. Bosi Rabbi Yosi holds that you could take off that bill, the bill for the midwife. In other words, we'll say, let's say again. So of having a midwife would have cost $100. So we'll say, Rabbi Yossi says that when you pay the damages to the husband for causing his wife to miscarry, you could take off that bill, you could take off that amount, the amount that she would have had to pay for a midwife. Because technically speaking, again, that is no longer an expense that she's going to have to incur. So Ben Azai Omer, Nichi Mizonos. So Ben Azai says, you could also detract some of the amount of money for Mizonos. In other words, the assumption is that a pregnant woman eats more. Now that she's no longer pregnant, ultimately, again, the Mizonos bill will be less. You could somehow, if you could quantify that amount, you could detract it off the damages as well. The man who says that you could take off the amount for the midwife certainly agrees that you could take off the amount for the Mizonos. Ultimately says but will say that you can't take off the amount for the midwife. Why can't you take off the amount for the midwife? Because the husband says, my wife is skilled at giving birth, and she would not need a midwife. So because she would not need a... Stop texting each other. Because it would not need a midwife, therefore what? Therefore, again, lemaisa, you can't take that amount off the bill. So the Gemara says, so Rav Papa Rav Funabrei Rav Yeshua Avot Uvda Kavase Rav Nachman B'Shishim. But now listen to this. So let's go all the way back. Remember how this whole discussion started? It all started with the guy who chopped down the palm tree. Right? That's how we got into this whole mess. Right? The guy went into a grove of three palm trees. He cut down the palm tree. It was one palm tree out of the three. The Reish Galusa said, remember, they were worth 100 zuz. The Reish Galusa said that you have to pay 33 1/3 zuzim. That was the Reish Galusa. The guy didn't like it, right? So he goes to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, no, you have to pay based on the fact that if it was a grove of 60 trees. What's the difference in value between a grove of 60 trees versus a grove of 59 trees? That difference in value ultimately, again, is the amount you have to pay. So the Gemara, we're looping back to that, Rav Osei. So Rav Papa and Rav Huna, so they conducted themselves like Rav Nachman B'Shishim. So we'll say, so whenever they had cases of damages like this, they conducted themselves like Rav Nachman. Lish Nachrina, another passage, another Lush, another version. Rav Papa Rav Huna Yehoshua, Shamu Dikla Agav Katina De'ara. So we'll say, the other verbiage of this was, that Rav Papa and Rav Huna Yehoshua, whenever they had to deal with damages to a palm tree, they always went ahead and evaluated the palm tree based on the palm tree of a larger grove, like we just said before. The Hilchasa, we'll say, what is the halacha? The Hilchasa kavase dirav papa, v'rav huna bre dirav Yoshua, bedikla de arama. The Hilchasa kavase dirash kalusa, bedikla parsa. Now, both of them, this is fascinating. The Gemara is going to say the halacha depends on what type of palm tree we're talking about. The halacha follows Rav Papa and Rav Huna Bered Yehoshua with an Aramean palm tree. And the halacha, so most remember, Rav Papa and Rav Huna Bered Yehoshua were the one who said that the way you evaluate a palm tree is you don't look at it by itself, but rather, again, you look at it as part of a grove of 60. Right? So you go in and you say, if you had 60 palm trees, it would be worth X. How much would 59 palm trees, a grove of 59 palm trees, and that difference is what you pay. However, the Reish Kalusa says you look at each palm tree on its own. The Gemara says it's not a contradiction. It depends what kind of palm tree. So when do we evaluate it based on a larger grove? That's an Aramean palm tree. When do we evaluate the palm trees individually? That's a Persian palm tree. Look at Rashi. Dikla Parsa, Choshev Hu Ma'od. These are very important palm trees, very choshev trees. Benisham bifne atzmo. And I will say, ultimately, again, they are evaluated each on their own. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the Shulchan Aruch actually paskins, like the Shulchan Aruch says, Harisha achla peros dekel echad, if a person ate, this is in Choshen Mishpat, Simen Shin Sadik Dalet Zvav, if a person ate fruit of a palm tree, the chenakot says peros dekel chaver v'achol, like cut down my friend's palm tree, right? V'im haya dekel romi, says it's interesting, he has it as a Roman palm, ukiyot sebo, shenat morim shalo yafos, essentially the Roman palm is the equivalent of the Aramean palm. The fruit is just not such high quality. Misharim osu b'shishim al gabe karka. We evaluate the damage based on it as if it was part of a grove of 60 other trees. Vim dekel parsi ukiyot sebohu, shatram shalo yafos b'yoser, misharim hadekel kumot b'fnei atzmo. But if it was apparently a high quality palm, like a Persian palm, so we go ahead and we evaluate the damage at the trees on their own. So we'll say an incredible, so that's in fact, if it's an inferior palm, we evaluate the damages based on if it was part of a larger grove. A superior palm, we evaluate the damages on its own. Eliezer Zira, Hava Sa'amabes, Hava Sayim Misane Uchmi. Suppose it is interesting. So Eliezer was wearing black shoes. Now black shoes, Rashi says, Misane Uchmi. So he was wearing black shoes. Black shoes with a sign of mourning. So there's a machlokes over here between Rashi and Tosus as whether or not. See, it sounds like nobody wore black shoes except mourners. Tosus says no. People wore black shoes also. Regular people wore black shoes with white laces. Mourners wore black shoes with black laces. Okay. In any event, he's wearing shoes that seem to indicate that he's in mourning. The koy b'shuka dinardo, and he was walking through the shuk dinardo. Ashkechud v'reish kalusa v'armelei ma'ishnahani mesani. So the servants of the reish kalusa saw him and they say, hey, what's up, Eliezer? What's up with these shoes? Meaning, again, I will say they knew he wasn't a mourner. So what's up with the shoes? Armer luhu dikama avilma ayushalayim. So he said, I'm mourning for Yerushalayim. Right, I'm mourning for Yerushalayim. So also listen to this. Amrulei at chashivas las bulei Yerushalayim. Do you think that you are great enough to mourn for Jerusalem? Savar Yehura Hava. So listen now, what does this mean? What they were saying was, to engage in such a public practice of mourning over Yerushalayim, you have to be someone who's great. In other words, we have this concept in Halacha of Mechsei Ki Yehura. Mechsei Ki Yehura says, we try to avoid certain religious acts that are not the normative approach because they look arrogant. So for example, Rabbi Osai, outside of Hasidic circles, we don't wear tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam. Right? By the Hasidim, they wear Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. Outside of Hasidic circles, we don't wear tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam. So for example, the Mishnah Berurah says, let's say I wake up tomorrow morning and I decide, you know what, I'm looking for something additional to do, I'm going to start putting on tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam. So the Mishnah Berurah actually says that you can't do that. It's mechseki yehura. It looks arrogant. What meaning? It's not the halacha for us. The halacha for us outside of Hasidic circles is we believe just we put on Rashi tefillin and that's it. To put on Rabbeinu Tam, I was saying that. But one second. But I'm just trying to fulfill the mitzvah in a greater way. That's fine. There are ways to take on additional pieces as long as they're part of the construct of normative halachic activity. When you kind of do something outside of the norm, the how you define the norm, what is the norm, that's a bigger discussion. But the idea over here is that the servants of the Reish Galusa says, look, we all mourn for Yerushalayim, but yet none of us are walking around in black shoes. For you to do something so publicly demonstrative is arrogant. So I'll say, so what happens? Asyu v'chavshua. They put him in jail. They put him in jail. So they incarcerated the Eliezer for public arrogance. Right? Can you imagine if that was actually a crime? Right? So we're incarcerating you for public arrogance. So Eliezer says, but I am a great man. Now, listen, now he's not saying this as arrogance. What he's saying is like, come on, like you don't know me, but I am up there amongst the Talmidei Chacham. My promise, I'm not being arrogant. I'm really just mourning for Yerushalayim. So listen to this. Amrulei Melaya Dinan. So how do we know you're a great man? Or as you say, you're a great guy. Like, you know, where's your card carrying great guy? You know, where's your ID, your gadol ID, right? So how do we know you're a great person? Listen to this. Amrulehu. Oh, asun bayminai milsa. Oh, anoi bayminai chum milsa. So Rabbi Yisrael Elez says, listen, here's the deal. Either you ask me something and I'll answer it, or I'll ask you something and we'll see if you can answer it. In other words, let's test me. Test me, and either again I'll ask you or you ask me. So listen to this. Amrule boy at. So they said to him, why don't you ask us a question? Amrulehu, Haiman de Katz Kufra, Ma Mishali. So we'll say Eliezer asked him the following question. If ultimately again, if a person chops down, a person cuts down his friend's dates, underdeveloped dates, what does he pay? Amrule Mishali de Mekufra. So the servants of Reish Lakish said back to Eliezer, he has to pay the value of the underdeveloped dates. I baha habu tamri. But said Eliezer, but how can you say that after all, one day, if these dates would have been left alone, they would have become fully grown dates, fully mature dates, it should have been worth more. Reish Lakish's servant said, good. Sorry, the Reish Galusa's servant said, Amr lei, mishan demi tamri. Fine, you're right, you should have to pay the value of the dates. Amr lehu, to which Eliezer said, but one second, v'halov tamri shakel, but that's not what he damaged, right? The damaged party didn't damage dates. He damaged underdeveloped dates. So Amr lehu, they said to him, Amr lehu, so we'll say, so they see that they can't get the answer to him. Amr lehu, so they said to Eliezer, Aima lanat, why don't you give us the answer? Amr lehu, bishishim. So, to which Eliezer responded, the way Rabbi say, if I damage dates in my friend's field, the way we would pay for it would be what? Rabbi say, we would look at 60 times the amount. How much, if I had a grove of 60 times more than the amount that I damaged, how much would it be worth with the amount I damaged and without the amount that I damaged? And that's how you come to evaluation. Amrulei man amr kabaseich. So they said, Eliezer, who holds like you? Who holds like you? Amr lehu hashmuel v'chai ubeis dino kayim. Shmuel is alive and is based in is in existence. Why don't you ask them what they hold? Shadru kamei Shmuel. So they sent a message to Shmuel. Amr lehu shapir ka amr lehu b'shishim. So Shmuel said Eliezer paskin correctly v'shapku. And ultimately, Ginevo said they let Eliezer out of jail. Fine. Rabbi Shimon Omer achla peros kimurim. So we'll say, remember again, Rabbi Shimon says, Rav Shimon also was of the opinion that no, if you went ahead and you ate fully developed fruit, you pay the value of the fruit itself. So my time, what's the reason? Ultimately, the pasuk says that the animal went in and ate in another field. So mostly under normal circumstances, that teaches us that we evaluate damages not by looking at the value of the fruit itself, but rather looking at the value of the fruit in the context of the field. So says the Gemara, Hani mili midi. That's only if the items still require the field to grow. Hani kevun delo tzrichi lasada. But Rabbi Shimon holds that fully mature fruit, which no longer needs the field to grow, therefore, what Rabbi say, therefore, because it no longer requires the field to grow, the damages will be assessed based on the value of the fruit itself. Which is an incredible distinction. So Rabbi Shimon is saying, when the fruit is not yet fully developed and requires the field, we establish the valuation for damages based on the field. So we'll look at a grove of a larger size and assess the difference in valuation if it had this item versus it didn't have this item. As opposed to once the fruit is fully mature, valuation for damages is based on the value of the fruit itself. So we'll say, now comes along Rav Huna Bar Chiya and says, Rav Yirmi Bar Abba paskind like Rav, excuse me, I'm sorry, Rav paskind, right, Rav ruled like Rav Meir, and he paskind halacha like Rav Shimon. Now we'll say, now what does that mean? Dan ki Rav Meir, so he conducted himself like Rav Meir, disanya, kasav the rishon velo chasmalo, the sheni v'chasal. I was listening to this case. A woman, Reuven and Yaakov and Leah are married. And what happens? So obviously Leah has a ksuva. That ksuva is secured by land. Reuven decides to go ahead and sell the land. So what happens? We'll say, under normal circumstances, if you want to sell off property, technically, you need your wife's permission. Why do you need your wife's permission? Because she has a lien against all of your property. The only way, by the way, to get around that permission piece is to miyached karka. If I go ahead and designate a particular piece of land for my wife's ksuva, then I have the right to sell the other parcels without her permission. But assuming I didn't do that, listen to this. So Reuven has two pieces of land. He sells the first one. He sells the first one, but the wife did not go ahead and sign off on that transaction. L'sheni v'chasmalo. But what happens? In the second parcel of land, ultimately, again, she goes ahead and she signs her permission. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Of the ksuvasa. Rabbi says she has now effectively lost her ksuv. Dear Rabbi Meir, both say, now, this is Rabbi Meir's logic, because Rabbi says, listen to this. Technically, the husband has the right to sell the first parcel of land without his wife's permission. Why? Why? Because there's still a second one from which to pay her ksuv. When she goes ahead and she signs off on the sale of the second parcel of land, she has effectively given her permission to the husband to sell off the land, which means that she has forfeited her ksuva. Rabbi Huda says, no, Yecholihi Shetomar Nachas Ruach Asisi Labayli. She could say, no, I only signed off on the parcel of the sale, not because I really wanted to sell the land, but because I wanted to make my husband happy. In other words, I didn't want to create shalom bayis problems, but I really did not want my husband to sell that piece of land. Atam ma lachem alai. So right, what do you want from me, just for trying to make shalom bayis? So both say, so the Gemara says over here that Rav Pasnik Rabbi Meir. They're both saying, in a case like this, where ultimately, again, she signed off on the sale of the second land, she effectively has relinquished her rights to ksuva, and now again, she has no ability to collect the ksuva. Remember again, she can't go back to the first guy because the sale to the first one was a legal sale. Because Lamaisa, again, when he sold to the first guy, there was still a second piece of land. When he then subsequently sells the second one and she agrees to that, she has effectively forfeited her ksuva. That's how Rav paskins. So next, Pasuk Hilchos Reb Shimon, and he passed on like Reb Shimon, what's that? Ki Adisnan, Reb Shimon Omer, Achala Peros Kimurin, Mishalemes Peros Kimurin, Im Sa'a Sa'a, Im Sa'a Sa'a. And I both say that, what? So Rav Pasuk Reb Shimon, namely, that if you eat fully mature fruit, we evaluate the damages based on the value of the fruit itself and not on the value of the fruit in the context of the land. That's what we'll say, how Rav Paskin, like Rav Shimon, is the distinction in our Mishnah. Therefore, if the fruit is not yet fully mature, we'll assess damages based on its valuation within land. But if the fruit is fully mature and no longer needs the land, we evaluate damages based on the value of the fruit itself. Weiter. Hamag Mishnah. Hamagdish Besoch Sadeh Chavero. So we'll say, if a person is going ahead and piling grain in the field of his friend, so we'll say, just so you know, just before we finish this, just to close out the halacha, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, this again is in Choshen Mishpat Shin Tzadik Dalit, Achla Peros Kimurim Shirin Tzrichin L'Karka. We'll say, if you ate fully formed fruit that no longer requires the field, no longer requires the field, what's the halacha? Meshalim demei peros kimur meshabyein. Im sa'ah stami demei sa'ah im sasayim demei sa'ah. So we'll say, we accept this distinction. If you, like Reb Shimon, if you eat fully formed fruit, the halacha is what? you pay for the value of the fruit, and you do not look at the value of the fruit in the context of land. So we pass in like Rabbi Shimon, we pass in like Rav. Good. Says the Mishnah, Hamagdish Pesuch, so we'll say if a person piled up grain within the field of his friend, so Shalom Birshus, we'll say, so the case of ears, I brought a pile of grain, and I put it down in Reuven's field. And the Reuven's animal eats my grain. Potter. So obviously Reuven is potter from paying any damages. Why? Because I was trespassing. But if Reuven's animal got injured through my wheat, then what's the halacha? I am chayiv. I, the owner of the wheat, am chayiv. Vim higdish birishus. But ultimately, again, if I brought in my wheat, Rabbi said, with the permission of Reuven, then balasad chayiv. And Reuven's animal eats my wheat, then I am chayiv. Rabbi, we actually saw this mishnah quoted earlier. It says the Gemara, leimatnan delo karebi chia. Says leimatnan delo karebi. Rabbi say our mishnah must not reflect the view of Rabbi. Rabbi, remember Rabbi di karebi haamr adchi kabal alav balabayis lishmar. Rabbi, remember what was shita of Rabbi? Rabbi held that lamaisa again, that when somebody invites you to bring your stuff into their property, an invitation to bring your stuff into their property is not a guarantee of security. According to Rebbe, if I say, you are permitted to bring your wheat into my property, what I'm saying is, you can bring your wheat into my property, but you are responsible to guard it. Until I make the statement of, you may bring your wheat into my property, and I accept responsibility to watch it. Now I will say, the Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah seems to say that once I give reshus, once the landowner gives reshus to the person to bring in their property, the landowner is accepting achrayis over that as well. To which the Gemara says, therefore our Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi. Dik Rabbi Amar Achi Kabbalah Balabayis Lishmar. No. What's the case here? Hacha benatar beidari askinan. So the case we're dealing with over here is dealing with the shomer of the silo, the granary. So both say the case over here was where you have a couple of neighboring fields who share one granary, one silo. So what happens? I'm approaching the shomer of the silo and asking him if I could bring in my grain. I could pile my grain in front of the silo. Because in that case, Rabosai, when the shomer of the granary goes in and tells me to come in, so it's the equivalent of saying what? It's the equivalent of saying, come in and I will watch your grain. So we'll say that's the unique case of the Mishnah. We're dealing with a situation where the Maisa, again, when the Shomer of the granary says, you may enter, that's the equivalent of saying, you may enter and I will watch your property. Well, so we'll have to stop over here for today. I will record in Mirza Hashem the Parsha thought immediately after. It'll be on the podcast immediately after davening. We'll stop. We're going to pick up with the Mishnah. So we'll say tomorrow the shiur will be in the afternoon. We'll WhatsApp out the schedule. There's a beautiful daf of Agarata tomorrow. It's going to be a magnificent, magnificent Gemara on Amud Beis in Mirza Hashem. Looking forward to good Ner Shabbos to everyone.